In short, Unix has made possible distributed computing. Last, but by no means least, Unix has attracted the applications needed to solve most business problems. There are literally thousands of them, 12,000 on HP UX systems alone, for example. Many of the critical mainframe applications have moved to Unix servers. And, of course, Unix supports applications not available on other operating systems, such as high-end graphics. The value propositions Unix represents to customers, technical excellence, choice, adaptability, and applications, have made this technology more successful than any of us would have imagined just a decade ago. Unix has changed forever the face of computing. We see its impact in two related phenomena. The first is what we at HP call the open enterprise. Perhaps the most fundamental contribution Unix has made to customers is that it has helped them evolve their proprietary legacy systems into an IT architecture that is more flexible. Such a flexible architecture allows customers to address today's business challenges while simultaneously preparing their organizations for an uncertain future. They're not sure who their new competitors will be in the future, nor where they'll come from. They cannot foresee geopolitical events or the acquisitions or reorganizations their company may undertake. The only certainty is the need for a robust network infrastructure and the ability to connect teams of people from throughout their organization and provide them with the information they need to do the best job possible. Most importantly, they need speed, the ability to respond quickly to changes in technology, customer needs, and the competitive landscape. The rapid rise of commerce on the public internet is a case in point. Many companies are scrambling to understand and realize the potential it presents. On some level, so are we at HP, but we were well positioned to respond to the opportunity of the internet because we had the flexibility that derives from openness. When we began developing our own internal network back in 1986, we chose to base it on open systems technology, namely TCP/IP. We now probably have one of the largest private TCP/IP networks in existence. It includes 140,000 hosts and transmits 5 terabytes of information every month. And because we built our infrastructure with open systems technology, we had the flexibility to connect our network to the public internet when it reached critical mass. And so we're doing commerce on the public internet. Access HP has 9,000 pages of information on the web. Between 30 and 40,000 customers look at these pages every day, with an estimated 700,000 pages viewed daily. And these numbers are increasing every week. We've used the internet to re-engineer some of our most important business processes. For example, we now distribute software updates via the internet. We put them up on an HP server along with information about the update and allow customers to pull the code when they're ready to deal with it. In other words, when it fits their schedule, not ours. So that important idea of organizational flexibility, the open enterprise, has been the first new computing paradigm that owes much to Unix. The second phenomenon is really a magnification of what's happening at the enterprise level. Actually, it's the context within which a business operates, or the information infrastructure, as some people call it. This image summarizes the evolution of computing with a decade-by-decade snapshot of where we've been and where we're headed. You may have seen it before because we at HP use it often to characterize computing's history and future. We're now in the fourth wave, characterized by cooperative computing made possible by open systems of clients and servers. Unix and the Unix community, with their emphasis on open interfaces and distributed processing, deserve a lot of credit for making it possible to reach this stage. We now stand at the threshold of truly pervasive computing, a stage when we so take it for granted that we only notice the absence rather than its presence. Vice President Al Gore and his friends call this phenomenon the information superhighway. At HP, we prefer to call it an information utility because the term denotes something as ubiquitous as electricity and the development of specialized information appliances that can plug into it. Actually, even the electric utility metaphor has its limitations because the information utility won't require that users find a plug, thanks to wireless technologies. Having led the evolution of computing over this past decade, what can Unix do as an encore? Certainly, the Unix story doesn't conclude with this sense of satisfaction. Comfort with the status quo simply isn't an attitude that characterizes this Unix community. Instead, we're seekers. We're a restless lot, uncomfortable when constrained by everyday assumptions and limitations. So I suggest that we commit ourselves to taking computing to that next phase, the stage when people take information technology for granted just as they do electricity. What does that take? Well, I'd like to address the four technical prerequisites shown here and not in their architectural order. First, it will require scalable, high-volume hardware components. Most of the computing power in this revolution is not going to come from proprietary architectures. Instead, it will come from enormously powerful merchant computing technology used as building blocks of complex systems.